when we hear the events with regards to the great pious predecessors, or we read about them in the kitabs, in the books, the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, and we see and hear their great maqam, the status that they had or they have, and we hear their names, and many years have passed and their names are still alive today, then whenever we read or hear about them, a point always crosses our mind. Whenever we hear the name of a wali of Allah or a friend of Allah, then in our minds one point crosses our mind, and that point is with regards to their ibadat, their worship, that they used to stay awake in the night. There was qiyam and sayam, there was worship and fasting and mujahada and effort and struggle, and how they used to struggle in their ibadat, in their worship. All night long they used to worship and worship Allah and remember Allah. And Ramadan, they used to wake up all night long, and their Hajj was unique and their Umrah was unique and special, and all of their great ibadat, big ibadat they used to do, ibadat, tilawat of Quran, recitation of Quran, and dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. And these are the ibadat that come into our mind straight away. This sort of image crosses our mind straight away when we say, this is it. That Allah Ta'ala, they struggled a lot, they read a lot of Quran, and they did a lot of effort, and they did a lot of physical worship, a lot of ibadat, and a lot of sujood and prostration, and Allah Ta'ala made them, as a result of this, His friends and wali. And I say that this is wrong. This is not the case. This is not the case in the sense that the principal point we have in mind. Yes, they did ibadat, and they did make effort, and a big, big thing is to do ibadat and to worship. But Allah's friendship, this is not the basis for Allah Ta'ala's friendship. This is not. We also do ibadat. We also worship. We also worship according to our status. You will have prayed tahajjud, alhamdulillah. You will recite Quran as well. And according to your capacity and strength, you also wake up and you stay awake and worship and give sadaqat. Alhamdulillah, I probably don't come into this. You do come into this under this banner. But there are people present today who are, mashallah, those who sit in the masjid and recite the Quran, and the people who worship and remember Allah, aren't they? And today, mashallah, there are people who on Hajj and on Umrah, they go in such a way that, mashallah, it's like they're going from here to Birmingham. Allah Ta'ala makes it seem even nearer than that for them, because they are close to Allah. So why don't they become Abdul Qadir Jilani? Or why is the title of Mujaddid al-Afthani rahmatullahi not attached to them? That's why I'm saying this. This is the Dalil. You think also, do you understand what I'm saying? In terms of quantity of worship and physical effort, Mujahida, there's a lot today. People worship a lot today. Multitudes of worship and travel and effort and worshipping Allah and prostration. So why don't we or they become Abdul Qadir Jalani today, or Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti Rahmatullahi? Why is that title not attached to them? Why don't they attain that rank? My brothers, when they prayed Salah, alongside that they did one other thing. When they used to wake up in the night, our pious predecessors, they didn't just wake up in the night. Alongside that, they had another action. When they used to recite Quran, and they used to finish the Quran, then alongside that, there was another action. What was that action? That action gave them wilayat and the closeness to Allah. And we don't do that action. And that's the difference. Ramadan, we passed. And in the nights, we woke up. And Laylatul Qadr, we also commemorated. We also did these big things, big acts of worship. But alongside that, they did another thing in parallel. And we don't do that thing in parallel. What was that action they did in parallel? That when they prayed Salah, then in the morning they didn't wake up and backbite against anyone. When they, our pious predecessors, used to do itikaf in Ramadan and come out into the dunya after itikaf, they didn't oppress anyone. They didn't do dhulm on anyone. They didn't say bad to anyone. Their rizq, their earnings was not haram. And even to break the heart of somebody, a minute amount was for them qiyamah. And they didn't think, oh, that yes, we've done qurbani for the animal and that's about it. And this is the big deen. And we sit down all day long in the masjid, and after we leave the masjid, the first action we'll do is we'll backbite against somebody. We will lie to somebody. We will oppress somebody. We will swear to somebody. We will think bad about somebody. We will have envy against somebody. We will gossip monger about somebody. You see the difference? So the reality here is that our pious predecessors, they didn't do the negative actions. They did ibadat, but didn't do negative actions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them wilaya, gave them His friendship, His title, due to the akhlaqi husana, due to the great, great form of conduct, due to the great manners and elevated social conduct. So the reason why they became walis of Allah is that they had great akhlaq, great manners, great conduct, social intercourse. So the basis for friendship with Allah, the basis for the qurb of Allah, the basis for Allah Ta'ala's love is akhlaqi husana, is the best akhlaq, the best akhlaq. High level of conduct, high level of social manners. Then the ibadat comes on top of that. Ibadah is a big thing. It's not the case that ibadah is not important. But you can't just have worship, you have to have akhlaq. And at the same time, you can't just have akhlaq, you have to obey Allah's orders. So both things go hand in hand. But today, the situation with us is that we consider that this is deen, ibadat. Wilayat, worship will equal wilayat. And we just worship, 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 and we think this will give friendship Allah. Then we say, what's the issue here? I can't see any dreams, or I can't feel good emotionally. There's nothing, there's no strength in the iman. The reason, because we prayed salah all night, tahajjud, and after tahajjud we came out and we backbited against somebody, and everything we did, the worship, was transferred to the other person's account. We lied, the ibadah wasted. We did dhulam, the ibadah is wasted. We did fasad, the ibadah is wasted. Yeah? So from home, from our family life, from our mu'asharat, environment, our business, these are all the means to allow our ibadah to be accepted by Allah. Because these are ibadah, to live in the world, amongst society, environment. We leave this factor and sector and we just concentrate on ibadah. And when we read about, hear about the walis of Allah, we say, oh, they used to do so much ibadah and they became walis, great walis. This is what we thought until today, isn't it? But think, this is not the critical element. Any wali of Allah, if you take his life, in his life, the best attraction you will get, in terms of the best, you can say, factor that you will be attracted to, and which will give tears in the eyes, is their akhlaq and their conduct. Me, I saw my Hazrat, my Shaykh was, obviously he for me is the Qutb, the Ghawth, the Abdal. Everyone's Shaykh is the Ghawth and the Qutb, and he was a great Wali of Allah with high rank. And maybe no Wali like this can be born in today's generation. So, an event is in my mind. There are many events. His whole life is Noor, Alhamdulillah. And we used to see that this person, it was really cold climate at that time. And in our area, the climate would be very cold in the winter. And there were no heaters or central heating or boilers, etc. to give heat. So one of our colleagues went to meet Hazrat from here, by chance, from Pakistan. And he went to the Khanqah of my Sheikh, to my Sheikh's Khanqah. And in the morning, 3-4 a.m., the Khanqah would open and the Darwish would start to come and dhikr, adhkar, they would start to do in Maraqaba. And early time, before Fajr used to be in the beginning time, and Hazrat used to leave, because the Maraqaba in the morning was to be for 1.5 to 2 hours in the morning. So Fajr would be in the beginning time, then Maraqaba would pass, would happen, dhikr, and it was very cold. And there was the masjid, and inside there were straw mats, and some people didn't have blankets, the fakirs, they didn't even have the sheets to wrap around them. This was how cold it was, that your hands, you couldn't feel them. So it was very cold. So Alhamdulillah, Hazrat would just wrap their blanket around them after Fajr. He'd turn around after Salah and wrap the blanket around him, and 2 hours would pass in dhikr, and then the sun would come out, and then you'd know it's Ishraq time. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. So this maraqabat Allah gave me the tawfiq to do, and Allah, I'm so grateful Allah Ta'ala's fadl that I sat with such great people. So in the morning he reached from Punjab, he went to my Hazrat's vicinity and locality, and he went from the Punjab. When you go to these areas where it becomes like the countryside, because it was near Balochistan and the climate's different, the culture's a bit different, a long journey, travel, and then everything looks ajeeb. So when he came from Punjab, he obviously saw the difference in the climate and the environment. So when he's looking, finding, he found the Khanqah. And alhamdulillah, when he got there, he saw that it's 2:30 a.m., 2 a.m. in the morning. In the night, the door was open, the Khanqah. He went inside, he was tired, and he didn't have any special clothes or anything. And the door inside the masjid or the Khanqah wasn't open. He was in the courtyard and he was feeling sleepy. He lied down and he fell asleep. And Hazrat, rahimahullah, 2:30 a.m., 3 a.m. when he came to the Khanqah, my sheikh, and he had a blanket around him and it was severely cold. And when he came inside and saw that there's a musafir, he's lying down. So Hazrat took his blanket off. He was weak at that time, old, and he gave that blanket to the musafir, and himself, my sheikh, sat in the cold. Till the morning he had that blanket. And Hazrat was sitting in the cold. Tell me what will be his hal physically. Tell me. So this was one event. In another day, there was cold. It's severely cold. I was in the Khanqah and I was sitting there. And one individual came. Hazrat's. He was one of the murids, one of the students. And he used to come. And mashallah, he was a unique brother. It was 2:30 a.m., 2 a.m., middle of the night. The final portion of the night. And he came. And it was it wasn't that time when he came, the final portion. It was about 11 p.m. I was in the Khanqah and it was cold nights. Cold nights. And I saw, where's he come, this brother? And we used to say Maulvi to him. Maulvi came and he came inside. He sat down. After a while, I saw that from Hazrat's house, such a big plate with food and hot bread and chapatis came for him about 11, 12 p.m. And I saw in the night, I said, Maulana, what's this that you've done? The Hazrat, there's nothing for them to eat at home. They don't have food to eat for themselves. Don't know how many days they probably haven't eaten. They're hungry and their stove has not been lit for days. So he said, no. Our Hazrat, he knows my mizaj, he knows my requirement. I thought that maybe he's eating yogurt and dry bread. I said, can you give me one of the morsels of tabarak? He said, no, you can't eat this. I said, please give me a little bit. I went close to him and I took a morsel of food. And it was like pure cream. He was eating and the tears came out of my eyes. I thought, Maulana, that's so much pain you give to Hazrat. Where will he have brought this from, Hazrat? This food, the chapati, how will he have cooked it? In his home, there's nothing. And I knew that there was total poverty and hunger. He said, no. Hazrat knows that I only eat cream at this time. Hazrat knows. So I don't know from where did Hazrat go at that time of the night and get the cream for him and serve him. And Hazrat knew that this is my guest and he will eat cream. And Hazrat bought cream for him and hot chapatis. And Hazrat himself was living the life of hunger and poverty. So when you see the wali wala, his life, whenever you see this, when you go towards this angle, akhlaq, and the manners, then we really learn that the way to get close to Allah is that the walis of Allah used to love the makhluk, the creation. The akhlaq is high grade. And this is what they do. They make an effort. They never oppress anyone. They don't do anything bad against anybody. So this is the reality. This is the reality. And our struggle and effort goes towards the other side. And then we waste our lives and depart from this world. When that person is lowered into the grave, then he has to pay accounts for his deeds. He's so proud that I did so much effort and worship, my salah, my fasting, my hajj, my umrah. And in the grave, when the reality unravels, when he sees his sins, where he lied, he backbited, he had hasad and envy, he did dhulam, he oppressed human beings, he did bad against people, then he forgets his worship. He says, oh, what's happened? Which world have I come into? I thought I had my worship with me for currency. So can this be that a person prays salah and that you do dhulam against someone and you think that that salah will annul that sin? After salah, the sin of salah is finished, that you fulfill salah and that's it. You've just fulfilled salah. You haven't cancelled out all the other sins. If after praying salah you oppress someone, you do bad to somebody, you swear to somebody, you take somebody's rights, you usurp their rights, a little point, something's wrong. Then how can you consider that you do bad to society and you think your worship will cancel that? Where's that lying gone? Where's that fraud action gone? Where's that haram action gone? That's not going to be annulled by salah or dhikr. By salah or dhikr, do you not understand? Where has that sin gone? The sins that we commit all day long in society, out in the world, they will never be cancelled by the worship. Brothers, we need to now travel to the other side of the spectrum. Don't just pray for ayat. If you can't pray the hajjud, don't pray. If you can't wake up in the nights, don't wake up. If you can't do nafil, don't do it. If you can't read 10 times Quran over, don't finish it. If you can't do 10 umrah and hajj, don't do it. But do one action, don't lie. Don't oppress anybody. Don't backbite to anybody. Don't oppress anybody. Don't break their rights. Don't usurp their rights. This is the original deen, the genuine deen. Don't emphasize on that part of deen, emphasize on this side. Because there will be nothing to save us from the sins of conduct. Because if we're an enemy with somebody, then that enemy will take our deeds, our worship and our mal. Brothers, do we want to finish off the evil sins or the bad sins and the bad actions that we do in society? Yes, we need to. We need to. Because this is a gathering of islah, rectification. We've come here to do our islah. Due to your barakah, I've come for this. So this is the big point. Very, very expensive point here. The alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given the tawfiq to do ibadah. But we don't go towards this. We need to concentrate on this. This is not hefty. It's not weighty. Let's not look outside at what we do. Let's come home. What akhlaq do I have with my son? What akhlaq do I have with my daughter? What akhlaq do I have with my sister? What akhlaq do I have? And this is a big point. What do I have? What relationship do I have with my wife? With my spouse? In my house? What is the mahal? What is the environment? 99% there are tensions in our homes. There are tensions. 99% there are tensions in our homes. Not 1% maybe are there people. I bring it down 1%. It's probably lower than that. The husband fights with the wife. The wife fights with the husband. And I started from the bottom, didn't I? That the main point, the husband and the wife, the basis of relationships, and upon which the family structure and culture is formed, and that is very dangerous today. The mother-in-law, the father-in-law, and the daughter-in-law, which is in our culture nowadays. Show me one home in which today we'll have very colourful prayer mats and jainamazes and tasbihs, colourful hanging on the wall, colourful Qur'ans, and people are reading Qur'an. But subhanAllah, if you go and look into the house, the husband and the wife, between them in their hearts, is there love? Is there affection and compassion? Is there good understanding and relationships? Where's our ibadah today? And we, me the same, and that we want all to become the walis of Allah, the friend of Allah. We say this, don't we? That Allah Ta'ala, make us your friend. This is the dua we ask for, isn't it? Do this. But we never concentrate on this. For us, this is not important. We prayed a salah, we've done a chillah. Or we gone tabligh, or we prayed salah. We've done many actions. We've read Quran. We've sat in the masjid after Isha, and we're sitting there with pride. Bring the food into the masjid. Because I've done big act of worship. I'm retired, I'm old. What else are you going to do, old man? That you're going to go to the masjid, you're going to go and rub your body on the carpets. Where were you in the young age? How long did you used to sit in your young age? What favor have you done for sitting in the Quran? Then we make points and point to this man, this person, what's this, and change this light, this bulb, improve this, and decoration and maintenance. I'm the person who's in the masjid all day. Don't take what I'm saying badly. Because we have sat with those people where my sheikh and the elders, they did our salah, and now you're coming to me, so I have to speak the same way for rectification. Because inshallah we'll get the benefits. So, why do we go to the masjid in old age and just grind our way, our bodies on the carpet, and give orders to people that do this and do that? Why am I deceiving myself that I am the pious person? The Quran says that, why are you deceiving yourself? Don't deceive your nafs. The deen is very easy. And Allah's friendship, subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala says that I am very close to you. I'm closer to you than your jugular vein, and we're not his friends. It's amazing. It's shocking. Today, if something is hundreds of thousands of miles away, we have a computer, a telephone, an internet. And for a person who's tens of thousands of miles away, we sit and online, we become his friend. And very solid friends from thousands of miles away, we're sending messages and communication, etc. And nowadays, people look at each other as well through that communication and become friends, etc. Isn't it? So if this can happen, then this, my friends, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closer than our jugular vein. So can we not become his friend? What's the reason that our salah is not like this? We have wasted our deeds, our worship, our amal, waking in the night. We've wasted it. Somebody's heart has got kibar or pride or takabbar or envy or hasad or malicious feelings and thoughts. And thousands of bad thoughts and actions are in our hearts, in our homes, and they don't come out. Can it be that they don't come out? Let me tell you one ibadah today. I swear that all of the negatives and the diseases will come out of our hearts. Does anyone swear? Because our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam swore and promised, so I will also swear and promise that this will come out. How can it not come out? What's the benefit of you and me coming here and sitting down? We didn't come here to do dhikr. We came here for islah, for rectification. And when our rectification occurs and the lying comes out of our life, then dhikr will give benefit, won't it? Or not? That when this connection comes, that all the tubes you have that if the meter, if you have tubes here and decorations and electrical wires and circuits, but if the meter is not outside, the current doesn't come in, then how's the light going to come in? So if our meter is not running, how will our salah and our tawaf and our itikaf and our ibadah, how will it become successful? If we don't have the meter running, we have to make the muashara, the society, we have to make our deeds correct, our home correct, our business correct. We don't want to lie, we don't want to backbite. Read such a salah, there's no lying, no backbiting, no hasad, no envy, nothing bad. It's possible. It's possible. Allah Ta'ala said, how can it be impossible? How can it be impossible? Isn't it? This is the case. So such a big guarantee is coming from behind from our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What did he say? قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم والذي نفسي بيده, that I swear by Allah. Allah, if I have sworn that Allah's Nabi says, Moses, who in whose hands, that he said, I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah's Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated this. Subhanallah. In this way, the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم spoke, and Hazrat Anas رضي الله عنه narrates this hadith, and he stated that I swear by Allah, لا يؤمن, that no man, no woman cannot be a mu'min, a believer. Walayat, friendship of Allah, oof, that's a big thing. That the eyes open when we hear the true deen. Have your eyes not open? Yeah, we need to go and see the grave close up. Don't be proud of ibadat, your worship. La yu'minu, Rasulullah said, abadu. No man, no woman cannot be a mu'min, a believer with iman. There cannot be a person of iman, then what will happen? What is Rasulullah said? La yu'minu, he prays salah. A person with iman prays salah, keeps the fast, goes on hajj, gives zakah, and gives sadaqah charity. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that the person, the mu'min with iman, la yu'minu, he cannot be a person, he cannot be a believer. Doesn't matter if he prays salah, doesn't matter what he does. Hatta, until, now the cure comes, and I'm about to tell you the worship now. That if we do this act of worship, then with the fadl of Allah, all the sins will come out of our lives. Hatta, what did Rasulullah say? You cannot be a believer until and unless, if you don't. Yuhibbul akhi ma yuhibbul nafs, subhanallah. That until unless you desire for your, whatever you desire for yourself, until you don't desire for others what you desire for yourself. You cannot be a believer, man or woman, until you desire for yourself, for others, what you desire for yourself. So in other words, what you desire and love for yourself, you need to desire and wish for others, and then you'll be blessed. Even if you pray salah or go to the Kaaba, whose tongue has this come out from? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said this, that's it, end of story. That's it. Now let's come towards the ma'ashara, society. Let's look at this ibadah now. What did Rasulullah say? That what you desire and love for yourself, who should you desire it for? Want it for the abid, the zahid, and for this person and this brother and your enemy or whoever, your friends. This is Islam. That we today have disrespected and degraded, and with such dirty names and titles have been given to Islam today. The whole of mankind has been given this message. There's no differentiation here. In terms of justice or mercy, in every muamala, take, pick up, and look at the situation. Not that he is a disbeliever or he's this, and there's no differentiation. Total justice will come in the Islamic world. From the Islam, in the Islamic country or city, total justice will come and haq will come. There will be protection of a person's life and his wealth and his children. Total protection for a human being. Whatever punishment there is for a Muslim, he's done a sin, a crime, the same punishment for the other person. If a person oppresses, whether he's a believer or not a believer, Islam gives the justice and the haq and the equality. But we have suppressed this. We have buried this. We've forgotten this ourselves, and we've made other people forget as well. What is Islam? When you hear such words, don't will people not run to Islam if they hear the haq? This is Islam? This is true. There's total justice. On one side there's a Muslim, and on the other side there's a person, whatever religion he's, a faith, idol worship, whatever. Both will have justice. Did he do right or did he do right? If the Muslim does wrong, he will get whipped and he'll get the punishment that he should be deserved. Not that that person's non-Muslim, grab him and punish him and leave the Muslim. No. The question doesn't arise. The question doesn't arise. There's no dhulum in Islam. There's no oppression in Islam. There's no fasad in Islam. There's no murder in Islam. There's no blood in Islam. There's no thought of this, contemplation of this. That where, if we have salam, salam Islam is salam and peace and shanti and peace and contentment. And the person who does amul on this, he is the wali of Allah. The people who practice this Islam, they're the friends of Allah, the wali. And what is a wali? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he is the person with iman. She is the person with iman, that sister. So what this means is that those people who do these actions today, the hadith is saying this, I'm not saying this, that those who commit fasad, who destroy countries, who kill people in the name of Islam and say we're Muslims, Allah says, la yu'minu, they are not Muslims. They're not believers, subhanAllah. The hadith is telling us this. This is not, I'm not saying this. Allah's Nabi is saying, how can they be Muslims who in the name of Islam are spreading fear? They cannot be Muslims. So how can we call them Muslims? This is a blot on the name of Islam. Cannot be that they're Muslims. That the Muslims call them Muslims. This is right what I'm saying, isn't it? This is the case. We have to speak the truth. And this is where we have to speak from this angle. Yeah, it's not about ibadat. It's from the actions. My brothers, what is the issue? That one action we need to, if we do this action, this ibadah, that we should love for others what we love for ourselves. Whatever we love for ourselves, we should want for others. So let's go into one sector and apply this hadith. Let's look at an example here. That, oh, I can't leave the sins of the eyes. I keep doing zina, I keep looking at the girls and the women. Come back. Let's look at this hadith and do amal on this. That if in that woman's place, it was your sister, and a man was staring at her, would you like it? No, I wouldn't. Then why do you do this? Subhanallah. Subhanallah. If you do amal on this hadith, you will back off from the zina, adultery. If you look at someone's mother or somebody's sister, then stop there and think that this taste, I'm taking enjoyment by looking at this woman. If my mother or sister was in her place, and another man was glaring at her, staring at her, would I like that man to stare? No, I wouldn't. Then why do you do it? So is that sin not being removed from you? No? Just do amal on this one example. You have sworn at someone, oh, you this and that and this. Now you think that if somebody swore at you like this, would you like it? No. Then why are you swearing at that person? Subhanallah. Yeah, so then you leave this way. If you are oppressing, oppressing, whatever sin you take, if you're oppressing someone or doing a sin against someone, then stop and think that, would you like if this was done against you? Nope. Then why do you do it yourself? End of story. End of sin. So has this not been released now? So if you don't do that action, what's coming from the other side? What's the news? That if you like this, that if you like to swear at others, and you don't like it for yourself, then behind this is a la yu'minu, then you will not rise as a mu'min. You will not rise as a believer. You need to repent from this. Otherwise you won't rise as a believer. So any field, any action, any factor in your home, in the family life, the facade. Let's come to husband and wife now. That would, if you oppress your wife, if you do bad to your wife, because you're in control, you speak, you down at her, you shout at her, a little bit of badness, you are angry with her, you're telling her off, then stop. And say that, would you like that in her place you have a system, and she goes and gets married into another house, and her husband oppresses her, and grabs her from her hair, and beats her, swears at her, and oppresses her, doesn't give her food, and does against her that she does not deserve and is not her right. And you know this, that the husband is oppressing your relative, your sister, etc. Would you prefer that your sister, she's oppressed in her home where she's married? Would you like this? No. Then why do you do this to your wife? Subhanallah. Yeah? So if we cool down now? So now, take the example of the wife. If the wife oppresses the husband, or abuses him, or stops cooking, not cook, but stops the food, or starts to criticize him, or fight him, or pester him, then think that if your brother had a bad wife, and she oppressed her husband, and she was bad to your brother, then would you not run after a taweez? Oh, my brother, oh, Malana sahab, give me taweez. My brother's wife, she oppresses my brother, she's not good to him, she doesn't treat him like... Lots of people come to me like this, asking for this sort of solution. So if you would not like this for your brother to have a bad wife, a woman, a sister, then why do you do this to your own husband? So now if both husband and wife learn from these examples, will there not be friendship between the husband and wife? Look at this. Islam is a great deen. And let's take the mother-in-law now. Mother-in-law relationship could be dangerous. In such a way, the friction can develop between the husband, the wife, and the mother-in-law. And obviously, the stranger woman has come to the house, and the mother-in-law says to the daughter-in-law, do this. Because the woman has come to the house. And lots of men know that this is the oppression of my mother. There's a proverb. Why are you fighting? Why is she moving while she's making the dough? The mother-in-law doesn't even want the woman, the daughter-in-law, to move while she's making the dough. She's kneading the dough. So hit her. Just a little excuse. And and they use this in society. So the mother-in-law should think that this woman has come into the house. She's the daughter of my, she's the wife of my son. Now you think that if you were the daughter-in-law and your mother-in-law was to oppress you and to make you do things that is not your right, would you like it? No, you wouldn't. So why do you do this to your daughter-in-law? Think about this, otherwise this will happen to your daughter. What if your daughter got married into a home and her mother-in-law oppresses her? Would you like it? No, so don't do this to your daughter-in-law. Take any chapter, any example. For this one hadith has made the whole society of mankind. The Rasulullah swore, that imagine he swore by Allah and emphasized on these words in this hadith. Tell me then, can the society be not so positive and great? The Rasulullah not know that the Muslims will do Hajj, they'll drink Zamzam, they'll go on Umrah, they'll look like Muslims, and they'll have Quran in their hearts, they'll have masjids. Where was all this before? Rasulullah, where was he when he was saying this? When the Prophet was stating this hadith, Walladhi nafsi biyadi, I swear by Allah in whose hand is my life, that person cannot be a mu'min. That woman, that man cannot be a believer. They cannot be a believer until they do not want for others what they want for themselves. Until they don't consider that, why am I oppressing this person when I don't like it for myself? Why did I eat somebody's money? Why did I earn haram? Why did I lie? So let's come to our areas, our countries, our towns and cities. This is not in any country. That does it say that we are allowed to go to another country and commit fraud or lie? Where does it say in our deen, Islam, that consume the tax, hide the tax and eat and claim, etc., and do wrong? Whatever is the law of the country, we have to follow and obey. We have to obey that law and go according to it. So here's the same point. That if somebody takes your money, would you like it? Somebody usurps your money and sits on your money and takes your haq and your wealth? No. So la yu'minu. If we just glance towards this, then it seems that Rasulullah is swearing and promising is that -1% Muslims we will not see today in society that follow this. If we glance and analyze the whole ummah today, and this is the reason for our loss today. Many people talk today that today, I don't know why we're so weak and we're oppressed. There must be, 2.5, 3 million Muslims saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik. Allah is so merciful. I remember one event about Labbaik. How Allah hears the announcement of the Muslims. There was a pious predecessor and he put the ihram on, the clothing for Hajj, from Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara. And he was about to depart from Medina with the ihram on. And he stood and said, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. And he stated the talbiyah, and Allah says, La labbaik, run off, be gone. I don't accept your labbaik, be gone. And there was a young man there, and he said, he heard this as well, La labbaik, I don't accept your labbaik. The announcement came from the skies, the heavens, and he put the ihram on to go. And he came and said, Elder, my elder, I heard this call from the heavens that came, the response for you. So why are you saying Labbaik loudly? Now you'll go, you're weak, such a long journey, and you're going to get shoved and pushed aside, and the decision has already been made. Your Hajj is not going to be accepted. The announcement, the calls come from up high. So stop. So what was the answer he gave? SubhanAllah, he said, listen, young man, you heard this announcement today, first time. I've heard this from 60 years. SubhanAllah. 60 years I heard this. I put the ihram on from 60 years ahead. La labbaik. I don't accept your labbaik. You've heard it first time, you're running off. And I'm not going, you're saying, but 60 years I've heard la labbaik. Now tell me, if I don't go to his court, then who will I go to? If Allah keeps on saying la labbaik, I'll keep on going to him, keep on going to him, keep on going to him. And then the announcement comes, go. Your 60 years of Hajj I've accepted. SubhanAllah. So Allah is Kareem. He's so great. He's not far. Today if we make niyyah on this one hadith, the Allah, our basis of life will become this. So for every brother we will love what we love for ourselves. We make the basis of our life that we will love to do ourselves what we will give to others what we love for ourselves. We will give and love for others what we love for ourselves. And this will be the greatest ibadah in our life. And our deen will be accepted. May Allah give us the true deen and the true path to follow. And with our external worship, the internal inqalab, when we don't make the revolution in our hearts, then how did people go to walis of Allah and they used to struggle and strive and sit with them and all night long they used to spend with them? Great Shaykhul Hadith and alims and scholars and fadil, and they used to go and sit at their feet and serve them. The walis of Allah. That's when their lives used to change and improve. In sitting in the masjid, you can't just succeed like this and worship. The heart doesn't change like this. This is not the way the heart flips. This is not the tariqah, the method. There's a way for everything. If you want to get good akhlaq, good conduct, improvement in your manners, and great social intercourse skills, and your worship be accepted, then the prayer mat for this is different, the intention for this is different, the prostration for this is different, and the direction for this is different, and the imam for this is different. So we have to follow that path and that subject and that learning and knowledge. Like we come to pray salah, we do wudu, we run, we hear the adhan, we come to the masjid, isn't it? We do ibadah and worship and we fulfill salah. The same way, to become a person with good akhlaq, excellent social skills and conduct and manners, and for our worship to be accepted, then we have to follow this subject, study this subject, then we need to turn our direction, our face. We need to go to those places, those institutes, and we'll have to get that company of those great people and walis of Allah in the khanqah, in the court of the wali of Allah. We'll have to spend time in their company, love them, take their companies, and listen to them, and see the example of the niyyah that I want to rectify myself and become a good human being. Then see that how me and you don't become good human beings, we'll become good human beings, and we'll leave that place, and our sins will be eliminated. Will we try this from today or not? Yes, inshallah. So you'll understand that don't emphasize on physical worship. Think about your internal, your batin. What am I doing? What oppression did I just do? How I took somebody's haq and rights. And we will meet people with a smile and tenderness and softness. And next door and people next to us will say, come to my home, Kim, Chua, how are you? From our hearts we say this, that and everything. And then when it comes now, mashallah, the climate's changing and the sacrifice, Eid is coming, Eid al-Adha, and we'll sacrifice the animals and we'll distribute the meat to people. But we will give that part of the meat that we like or the meat that we don't like. We'll give the meat to our friends and relatives that we don't like ourselves. Look now, that such a day is coming. The enjoyment is this, that we like this, isn't it? So why don't we give to our neighbors? If we like the paisiri, then give to your neighbors that part of the meat first. If you want to give somebody a gift, we'll say, you know the spare things at home, give those first. And today the problem is that good things have come. You know, the bags have come and wrappers have come, wrapping paper and petals and flowers. When they open the present, then half an ithr bottle is open. Subhanallah. Half an ithr bottle, and it's written on the expired. The date's gone as well. What's this? Is this the way you give a gift to someone? So you wrap it. Somebody came to give a gift. I'm laughing here. And he said that this is the box of mangoes. He said, mashallah, leave it. I don't eat mangoes really. He said, no. This is a box of mangoes. So took the mangoes. When I opened it, he said, three I've eaten and there's three left. These are for you. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So that person, tell me, if we can't even internally within ourselves, our heart is so tired, and we'll do wudu and run into prostration. And when we go prostration, and then we're bumping into the person next to us, and we have no friendship with that person, there's no association with that person, no. And we have complaints with that person after a little while, we do this, or he says this, he says that, he did this to me, and we'll complain, look at that person, look at this person. So we'll start from the imam. Look at the imam. Look how he's standing. We'll criticize him. We'll criticize and complain to everyone. We'll go to the musallam. We'll say, this person, look at him. Oh, he's not doing this right. Not doing that right. Brothers, we need to change. Our grave is calling us, my friends. وَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ Run towards the true deen. Allah Ta'ala has sworn, Rasulullah has sworn, Walladhi nafsi biyadihi. I swear by Allah in whose hands is my life. O mu'mins, you will not rise as believers. If you have bad akhlaq, you will not rise as a believer. A liar will not be a believer. A person who oppresses won't be a mu'min, whether he's a man or a woman. A woman or a man. If you see in your houses the bad deen, the bad akhlaq, then correct yourself. Don't do dhulm. Don't oppress your sisters, your daughters, your wives, your children, and your women and your husband with the wife and the wife with the husband. Don't do dhulam. Life is for 4 days, a few days. Why do you make enmity everywhere? Why do you do fraud? And if you give to someone, then what should you give them? Give them the best that you like yourself. The best things give to people. Now comes the Eid al-Adha, sacrifice Eid. And if we give the leg meat to someone, and we keep the leg meat and we give them the other parts, the bad parts. No, you give the good meat to others and keep that may be the inferior part of yourself, and then you'll realize that you are succeeding. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, that the hadith we've read with the fadhal and karam, we do amal and practice on this. Ameen.